This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So Winnie the Pooh and Piglet are having this conversation, all right? And Piglet says to Winnie the Pooh, he said, "What do you say when you wake up in the morning? What do you say to yourself?" And Winnie the Pooh says, "I say, I wonder what's for breakfast." "And what do you say, Piglet, when you wake up in the morning?" Piglet says, "Oh, I wonder what exciting thing is going to happen today." Winnie the Pooh thinks, "Well, that's the same thing, isn't it?" So we're talking about, my title for today is Justice and Righteousness Look Like What? And then I'm talking about waking up on a Sabbath day and thinking, what exciting thing is going to happen today? And you might wonder, what the connection is there. When my parents first married, Sabbath meant Sunday. And Sunday was special because neither of them went to work that day. And they went to church twice, at least. And there was no TV, no films, no music, no dancing, no alcohol. A few years later, when I was a teenager, it wasn't quite as abstemious as that. But it was a day defined mainly by what you didn't do. However, it still gave us a wonderful structure to our lives, and although we were heavily involved in church life, it was still a rest as well. Now, so why am I talking about Sabbath when our theme is heart to heart and the title of this talk is Justice and Righteousness Look Like What? ? But if we turn to Isaiah 56, I think we'll find out. Do you want to find that in your Bibles and in your devices? Isaiah 56, verses 1 to 7. This starts a new section of Isaiah. There's various sections through the course of Isaiah. And this one, some commentators call it the Sabbath people. And in this section, it starts by saying, by looking back to their salvation. They've been rescued from Babylon, from the exile, just as we look back to the cross where we've been rescued from and the resurrection. That's the now, if you like. And it's looking forward to the time when the king returns to the land and reclaims Jerusalem. And just as we look forward to when Jesus returns and takes us to feast at the banqueting table that's been prepared, the not yet. We're in this between the now and the not yet place. And in this meantime place, what do we do? And it's during this time the Sabbath people seek justice. Let's read it together. Isaiah chapter 56, if you'd like to read it out loud, if you're on your own, or not, even if you're not, along with me. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right. Maintain justice. Opening line. Maintain justice. Do what is right. For my salvation is close at hand and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the woman who does this. The man and the woman who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." Let not any eunuch complain, "I'm only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for many nations. This is God's word, and it's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. 15 years ago, I was in a dilemma. Okay. I was working long hours in my business, which was struggling to stay afloat. That was Monday to Friday, long hours. And then I was working long hours for the vineyard over the weekends as the church grew steadily. And that meant most of the weekend and some time during the week. And I knew I was meant to enjoy a Sabbath day and that I needed to take a day off. And I was telling other people to do this. I was preaching about it, but I was struggling to do so myself. You know, do I take a day at the weekend? That was my busiest time for preparing for and doing church. Should I take it during the week, which would mean reducing my work hours, which would cause problems for my business colleagues and my clients? But I knew that unless I dealt with this, I was going to get stuck in exhaustion and busyness and, frankly, ineffectiveness, not just at church, and in work, but in life. I just had to grapple with it, and I had to make changes, worked it out with Alison, talked to others. It wasn't easy, but in the end, we agreed to, with my colleagues, I reduced my business hours down to 4 days a week, and instead I got paid a day a week by the vineyard, and took Thursday as my day off, my Sabbath. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made and one of the best changes I've ever made. And I got into a better rhythm of life and rested on the same day of the week. But there's more to Sabbath than simply taking a day off. And I'm still learning what that is. One phrase that comes to mind is entering into God's rest. And I'm learning about that, and we'll come back to that in just a few moments. To some extent, Sabbath is defined by what you don't do. In my parents' day, that included quite a long list of things that were fun. And that's partly inspired by Old Testament dictates, which say, you know, you should deny yourselves on the Sabbath day. But the main thing we don't do on our Sabbath is work. Let's just look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. By the seventh day, it says, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. That's really important. He made it holy. He changed the nature of that seventh day. It became sacred. Because on it, God rested from all the work of creating he had done. Now, work doesn't just mean paid employment. It could mean your studies. It could mean housework, domestic work, fixing things, traveling, washing the car. For some, it could even mean your work could be things like caring for someone or feeding the poor or caring for God's earth or freeing somebody from slavery. They could be the work that you need to step back from. Sabbath is stepping away from whatever occupation or business fills the other 6 days, or mixture of things. It's one of the commandments. It's number 4. It goes like this. Remember, Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it, it's that word again, holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, all those other different things. But the seventh day is the Sabbath, the Lord your God. Now, we build a Sabbath day into our staff contracts at this church. So I asked the pastoral team what they enjoy about their day. They all give time to rest and relaxation, and they all give time to their relationship with God, and they often go out walking. But some extras that they each did differently are things like Helen, and she put this in caps to make the point, not doing any housework, cooking, washing, or work in any way, and not feeling even remotely guilty about it. Great stuff. Liz sometimes sleeps in, but I think she means sits in, because she sits in bed reading to and listening to podcasts, and she loves quality time with her dogs. For Anne, it was gardening. That's what gives her life. And she takes time to cook a special meal that everybody can enjoy. Sally loves to keep to a family night every week where they watch. It says here, the same food and movie every week. I don't think they watch the same movie every week, but you get the drift. And she has this lovely phrase about receiving the unexpected blessings and pops of joy that inevitably come her way during the day. So Sabbath is not just about what we don't do, but it's about perhaps what more about what we do, what we choose to enter into and enjoy. In chapter 56, Isaiah picks on Sabbath as a way to describe what justice looks like. Let's go back to verse 1 and 2, where it says, maintain justice and do right. So that's the way he starts off. That's his injunction to the people in this now and not yet time. Maintain justice and do what is right. Blessed is the man who does this, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it. He draws a direct connection between those two things. And he illustrates the point by saying that even those who seem the furthest away from God in their culture, which would be the eunuch and the foreigner, the two outcasts of society, I'm going to talk more about that in a couple of weeks' time, they will receive an extravagant welcome into the kingdom if they keep the Sabbath. And let's just tie those two things together, justice and Sabbath. The theologian John Oswalt, who's one of the best commentators on Isaiah, he writes that justice is the behavior in keeping with creation order. So how things are meant to be, the balance, the relationships being level, it's how God created it. But righteousness, which is a word that goes hand in hand with justice all the way through scripture, it's sort of partners in crime. Not in crime, that was not appropriate. Partners. Righteousness has an overlapping but different meaning, which is that which is inherently right in relationships. So what's right between us and between us and others, and what is in creation order, justice and righteousness. And what the Bible seems to say is that we can rebuild right relationships and recapture the creation order, justice and righteousness, by honoring and enjoying the Sabbath. There's a lot to understand here, and I'd strongly commend, thanks Michael for the shout out to small groups. This week they may well be, there's lots of resources on our system for discussing different aspects of Sabbath, which you might want to look into. I want to look at one particular thing and go back to that phrase I used earlier on. So in Hebrews chapter 4, so we were looking in Genesis right at the beginning, now we're right at the end in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 describes Sabbath in a different way. It says there, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. The Bible tells us that God created the world and then rested. God entered his rest. And in some ways, he rested for the rest of time. He'd done his work. I know most of us have got to go back to work tomorrow. But God entered into his rest for the rest of time, a rest in which he sat amongst his good work. He looked around and he admired it. And this is what we're invited into God's rest. What is God's rest like? Is it an eternity of not doing things? No, I don't think so. It's an eternity of everything good and rich and wonderful and restful and restoring and enjoyment. Heaven, paradise. That's God's rest. John Mark Comer does a lot of teaching on this. I mean, he uses a phrase to describe it. And I think this is what he's alluding to when he talks about it. He says, Sabbath is practicing how we live in our best times. And I think he's alluding to this sense of the richness of what is to come. And we are honoring the Sabbath day. And in so doing, it's another expression of saying, on earth as it is in heaven, like we pray in the Lord's Prayer. We see some of it coming in heaven and that richness of God's rest. And we have some of it today on earth as it is in heaven. We get that taste of eternity as we enjoy a Sabbath day. It is a day of the week in terms of time and organization, and it does bring life and it brings to life a rhythm which fits with the way that we are created, the way that God made you, and without which you become increasingly ineffective. Everybody knows that. but it's put into the sort of structure of Scripture. It's mainly an expression of restoring relationship, recapturing the created order. It's a reset. It's different ways for different people, and it can include feast and play and abundance and joy and rest and recovery. And it recenters us on God. Just look at verse 6. Verse 6 has and it's talking about, it's sort of expanding this notion of what Sabbath might feel like, because it's so central to the way they think. And it's verse 6, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord. Again, Michael in his interview talked about that moment each day when he sort of reconnects with Jesus. Who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, or it could be translated to worship him, as we are going to do this evening in the worship evening. To love the name of the Lord, and to bless the name would be another way to say that. And we sing songs, don't we? We love your name, we bless your name. To be his servants. And I think this is why Sabbath, for most people, is helpfully oriented around Sunday. Because it's when we recenter on God. It's when we make him the focal point of our lives again, together as a community, not just on our own. We worship and bless his name together, as we will tonight. We call on him in prayer, as we minister to and serve one another. And when we're permitted, we will eat together often on a Sunday. Now, granted, for some of us, Sunday is work. Alison and me, it's our busiest day of the week. And so we take Thursday as our day off. So we enjoy some of those aspects of Sabbath as we worship with you, our brothers and sisters in God's family. And we enjoy other aspects of Sabbath when we're on our own. For us, we have to do both. And some people serve a great deal on Sundays without being paid to do it. And they have to be careful to enter God's rest despite that and attend to that. Again, maybe at other times or in different ways on the Sunday. I mean, concluding, when we wake up on our Sabbath day, do we join in with Piglet in thinking, what exciting thing is going to happen today? What's God going to do? How can I reconnect with him, my creator, the lover of my soul, the one who gives me purpose and meaning, who saved me? And as we enter into God's rest, we are drawn towards happiness and getting healthy in body and mind and spirit. We stand back from our work and our obligations, and we enjoy a taste of how we will live in our best times, which are yet to come. We then return to the 6 days of work, rested, reset, stronger, better balanced. We work better, we look after our friends better, we look after our family better. We do better as disciples. It's much harder to tempt someone who is rested and happy and healthy. Sabbath becomes a weapon in the kingdom battle. People look at somebody who is taking a Sabbath and who is rested and reset with God, and they think, I like that. I want what they've got. So justice starts with Sabbath, with honoring the created order, with resetting with God at the center of our lives and entering into his rest. And then we find ourselves equipped and strengthened and empowered and inspired to maintain justice and to restore righteousness. We are better at heart to heart when we enter into God's rest. Amen. As we were talking about entering into God's rest, for some people, that's a completely new idea to them. Maybe they're not followers of Jesus. Maybe you don't know him and you're not a disciple, but you like the sound of entering into God's rest, and that's a gift for you. And I'd love just to pray for you to give you the words to start that process of entering into God's rest. And it starts with saying, I know that I've got stuff wrong and I'm not in a good place with you, God. But I also know that you've forgiven me because Jesus died for us so that we could have this conversation with God. So you could say, I'm sorry, and I know you've forgiven me. I receive your forgiveness, and I want to enter into your rest. So if you've never done that before, if you've never decided to follow Jesus, it's the best decision you'll ever make, and it's a great place to go into his rest. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray for those for whom this is a new thing, and they like the sound of a new life, which has at the center being with you in your rest. So if this is you, pray along with me. And we all pray this all the time, but join in with this prayer. So Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong and for what I've allowed to come between me and you. I repent of making my life and my world about me. And I turn my face to you, and I receive your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. And Lord, I accept this invitation into your rest. I want to step into your rest as best I know how, and I commit myself to walking towards you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please would you get in touch? Hello, at Leedsvineyard. Oh, look at that! That was quick. Nice one, Jacob. Or to somebody you know in the vineyard, and would love to give you some information and to walk this journey with you.
Okay. So, just still on the subject of what David was talking about. We sang in the worship, You Love Us All the Same, that lovely song that talks about that. And it's just a sense of like God's rest. When we enter into God's rest, it's a leveler, and we are all equal in that place. And I felt like there are some people who know this is an issue, and you've been struggling with it for a while, and God's challenging you at the moment. And it's just an invitation from him to surrender to his rest, and actually to stop striving and driving and earning and trying to be and to do, to keep up, to qualify, to prove, to validate, and to reflect on what he promises the foreigners and the eunuchs. God will lift you above all of that. And the invitation is to you. I feel like God is saying, to you who keep my Sabbath, I will. And the invitation is, he wants you to find out what that is by entering into that and actually making some changes and starting a new rhythm of Sabbath. Lord, I just thank you that you love us, and that challenge and the struggling with things is not a bad thing. Yeah. Lord, it's you exposing things and wanting and nudging us to grow and change. So I just thank you for anyone who is in that place right now of just struggling a bit with this whole Sabbath thing. And I just thank you for the promises that you want to bring them into. I thank you for the help that you want to give them, the revelation, the motivation to make some changes. And, yeah. And I just thank you for what you will to bring and do for them as they take up that invitation, Lord. So I pray that you would bring them into a new season of rest, that you would bless them with your rest. And all that brings.
Amen.